I want you to look at Ephesians. We're going to read first in chapter 6, but then I'm going to back up and mention some things, and then we'll just talk till we run out of time. We won't run out of message because it's too much going on. Too much in this about families, fathers, children, relationships, discipline, correction, love, nurturing, obedience. Amen. There's a lot to be said. But I might as well get started on the scripture here today. And I'm glad some of these young people stayed, because they're going to think I'm preaching to them today, probably. Because my text this morning starts out with children. You say, I'm not a child. Well, let's just look at it like this. If you've got a mother and a father, then you qualify to be called children here. Amen. So let's just look at this. How many knows what Ephesians 6 and 1 says without me reading it to you? Anybody, any of you young people know? Jesus wept? No. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2, honor thy father. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, I'm going to go through this kind of slow. I know y'all in a hurry. A little warm in here. You can get your nap in last night. And I don't want to bore you, but I'm going to preach the gospel to you. And if that bores you, then have at it. But I want to preach to you a little bit this morning. There's words in here that, and I'm not done reading, but there's words in here that almost don't fit in the modern day dictionary. Amen? Like words like obey and honor. And notice what it said, that to obey your parents in the Lord is right. Now, what does it mean by right? You know, we're in a society, when you say it needs to be done right, people want to know who's making the rules. You talk about ethics, and people say, well, whose values are we going to judge by? Well, how many knows you're not right unless you're right according to this? So when the Bible says to obey your parents in the Lord, when it talks about obeying in the Lord, it's talking about, doing it as obedience and in favor of God. Now, how many knows that our lives should be governed by, is the Lord pleased with the way I'm living? That ought to govern. How many knows that takes a whole lot of head scratching out of the mix when you put God's will and ways and word first in your life? Amen? Come on, church. Preach about honoring fathers here today, but there's a lot into this. And it says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then it says to honor. And that word honor covers more than one thing. It means to respect. To honor means to respect and hold them high. And to not only just in deed, in word, but in deed. The way you live, how many of you young folks know that the way you live your life brings honor to your father or dishonor to your father? Is that right or not? God bless your hearts. And this is just one point I want to make here. There's so broad a field. I've been looking at this since about 5:30 this morning, and it just kept on getting bigger and bigger. But there's honor in here. You see, God, when he looked on man, and he was pleased with what he had made. But he said, you know, this is not, there's needs that a man has that are not met here. It's not good that man should be alone. And so he became, a husband. Man became a husband. Of course, you know, God's plan before you're a father, you're a husband. Somebody say amen. And so if I've got time to read you the other scriptures pertaining to fatherhood and man and honor and respect and submissiveness and obedience. But God made man from the dust of the ground in his own image, in his own likeness. And so, you know, so we take by that the man was created, God's initial idea, amen, of fellowship, and he made man. And then he saw that man's emotional needs and his physical needs were not met. And so he said, I'm going to make him a helpmeet. And so he made woman out of the side, amen, of Adam. He did not go and pile up a pile of dust or cuckleburrs or thistles. He took a bone out of Adam's side and made a woman. Now, that woman to fulfill, amen, the loneliness that was in his heart, to fill that void of the emotional needs and the physical needs. And then he says, go and replenish the earth to continue the generations. There had to be a man and a woman. Amen. Come on now. That's still the way I believe it. How many knows we're in a very strange time, amen, when we have to have a constitutional amendment to tell a man not to marry a man? Somebody could just get a Bible in a Motel 6, amen, and go to the Genesis chapter 1 and begin to read, and he can find out what God's plan was for a mate. Amen. Come on now. Amen. And so we want to honor God and honor fatherhood. Amen. This morning, I want to tell you, if our society had started out on the perverted note that it's ending up on, amen, the society would already been destroyed a long time ago. Amen. Come on now. You know it's true. Well, just a little tidbit I throw it in there with you. You said we talk about the same old thing. Amen. But I want to tell you, it ain't the same old thing. It's God's precious word. Amen. And, you know, God put us in families. The Bible said God set the solitaire in family. He wanted every man to have his own wife, amen, and for her to love him and honor him, amen. I'm preaching on honoring father, amen. Before a child will ever honor their father, amen, that wife must honor her husband. All right, let's read some more. It says, the honor of the father, that it may be well with thee and thou mayst live a long life. Now, I'm going to tell you, you hardly ever find a scripture in the Bible, there's not that many of them, that has a promise of life tied to them. Amen. But honoring, respecting, holding high. Amen. Brother Kenny, there ought to be some things in our life that we just would not do because we knew it would bring dishonor to our family name. Somebody say amen. I mean, thanks for all to still live that way. And I want you to turn real quick with me. I want you to look at the fifth chapter of Ephesians. I'll try not to be lengthy. I done said all that in 5 minutes, so I'm on a roll here. I want you to look at the fifth chapter of Ephesians and the 22nd verse. Now, I know you're going to think I'm meddling here, but I've got this I want to preach. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands unto the Lord. Now, that's honor. Now, I think we cleared up on Mother's Day that submission, amen, when God created man, and then he created a woman. He did not, they're not unequal. They are equal. God loves them just the same. And you'll see in the scriptures that I'm going to read to you that a man and woman, even though man was created first and the woman of the man, now man is of the woman. Come on now. He came from the woman. Without her, you wouldn't be here today. Amen. It's not an inequality thing and women's rights. People have got so much away from the Bible. Amen. But the Bible says, wives, honor your husband by submitting unto him. That is not making you lesser. You're not a slave. And I want you to know these scriptures are pertaining to the church. Amen. It's don't hardly fit out there in the lost world. because men are abusive and mean and hateful, amen, and women, amen, aren't submissive and they're disobedient, and it doesn't hardly fit in an unregenerated home, amen, because they don't care about the Bible. But brother, in a saved home, amen, this right here works, and it brings a happy home, and it brings peace with God, and it brings an environment where your prayers can be answered and are not hindered. All right, how many? I don't have time to read you every verse, amen, but we're talking about the honor that God bestowed upon a man. He honored them, amen, when he created them first. They had the honor of being head of the house. They were granted the honor by God in the creation of time, with the angels looking on, and the angels know it, in the order of humankind, God set a precedent. The order of man head and the woman submissive. You say, I don't believe it. You don't believe the Bible. I don't like it. Then you're not spiritual. Amen. I'm trying to preach to you, right? It's a matter of rank and order, not a matter of who's worth more than the other. That's not the way it is. And then a man who is honored at being head of the house, he in turn loves, amen, his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Hallelujah. Feel so much like preaching and y'all feel like eating chicken. I need to get, listen to this. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husband. Here's that verse again I just read to the children, where they obey as to the Lord, for it's right. It's the right thing to do. How many of us know there's times we do what we ought to do and not what we want to do? How many's ever been in a situation that's where character is bred and born in us? It's when we get out of this old attitude, boys and girls, we're going to do what makes us happy, what feels good to us, what satisfies about our whims and fancies. You're not going to make it like that. You've got to be determined in your life. What's going to make me happy is making God happy. If I can please God, if I can be sanctified before the Lord, then I'm going to be satisfied in my heart. You cannot be a good father, a good mother, a good child, and be a selfish individual. Am I preaching right or not? I want you to look what it said. There's got to be order, and God ordained it. I'm going to read some more to you to show you this morning. But it said, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands and unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now, when you talk about being the head of the wife, the husband, how many knows that the husband and the wife are twain one? And when you talk about the church, how many knows that the church is the body of Christ? So when you say Christ is the head of the body, it does not mean that the head is greater than, is worth more than the rest of this body. But it means that the head, amen, is the authority that God has set. But they're all one body. When the man is put in the position of the head of his wife, that does not make her lesser. Amen. But God has gave him honor to take the rank of position of the head of the home. Amen. I'm preaching you right. I'm preaching to you something here that is as foreign as in anything in this whole wide world. We're living in an hour, amen, where men and women refuse to live together under, amen, the order of God Almighty. Woo! I feel like preaching here a little. The husband's head of the wife as Christ is the church. Now, how many know when Christ came to earth as a man, he submitted himself to God the Father? Huh? How many knows that Christ was subject to God the Father? Let me ask you this. Was Christ less than God the Father? Was he? No. But he submitted himself, willingly submitted himself, amen, to the Father as the head while he was surrendered here on this earth. And that, brother and sister, is how a marriage is looked upon, amen, as Christ and his church, as that unity. But yet, that submitting yourself, amen, to your husband as the head of your home, amen. And the Bible said it like this. Notice what it said. As unto the Lord, therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wife be to their own husband in everything. Somebody get me a song. I'll make an altar call right here. Do you believe this? I heard one yes and some groans. This is the word of God. But my husband is stupid. Well, it takes one to know one. He didn't say that. You'd think bad of me if I went off shouting right now, wouldn't you? Huh? Listen to this right here. I'm preaching on the honor that God has given the father, the husband, the man. He gave him the honor. And he says for the ladies, as in every husbands, now it goes, let me, before I get off of that, I want you to turn to a real stem winder scripture. 1 Corinthians 11. Be you followers of me. Am I doing all right? If I get one amen, I'd go on. Can I go on for everyone I heard? Listen to this. Be you followers of me as I also am of Christ. I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances I have delivered to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Amen. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. Now, goes into this. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. All right, God's his head, and he said, man, there was a customs in the early church, and Paul was trying, they were, you know, some, they were, I'll be honest with you, they were some ladies that had took some privileges because of the gospel and so-called laxity that the gospel brought to women. It, you know, the Roman Empire was cruel to women, and those traditions of the Jews had developed. Were hard on the ladies, but when Christ came preaching in the early church and there were some liberties gave, they were taking those liberties and going a little far. And so he stepped in here and he said, now look, I'm just going to tell you the way it is. Now look what he said. And he laid down this authority. A lot of times you think it only has to do with hair, this leaven. And it does. But it's authority. That's why it talks about the angels. And if you heard Brother Barnett preach, he talked about those angels are interested in our worship. That's why the Bible's talked about a woman ought to have power on her head for the angel's sake. And that power on her head was that symbolism of that long hair was a symbol that she accepted the place of order that God had ordained for her. Amen. Come on now, help me preach a little bit here. That's what it's all about. And so, and then he appeals to nature. And he says, well, nature teaches you, and you know it's true. I know there's some men that have some pretty nice, pretty wavy, long hair. But brother, there's very few that their hair, it won't grow like a woman's hair. Amen. God, that's right. I know there's been ponytails and pigtails and all kinds of things. Amen. But God ordained the woman, amen, to have that long hair of glory. Or you ought to look up here and say, amen, God ordained it that way. Amen. And he wanted it different in the sexes. You hear what I'm saying? God created them different. Amen. Hey, God didn't create that prissy little man. Amen. With that limp wrist. Amen. And his burning toward another man. I'll tell you where that was created from. Romans chapter 1. When the devil enters into their heart and perverts their way and they burn in their lust one for another. Amen. God set an order. A man and a woman and nothing in between. Hallelujah. I feel like preaching a little here. Amen. But he said, listen to this. He said, a man that prays, and you can take it for how you want to interpret it. Amen. What a man, how long is long and how this is that. Amen. But a man was to have, and when you read the study on it, all the cultures in that day, except for a Nazarite, had short hair. The men would cut and shear and shorn their hair, except for the Nazarite vow, how you want to understand that. Help me preach a little bit. Amen. And so a man, those men would cut their hair, amen, and a woman would not cut her hair. And according to the culture and the history of that day, if a woman was caught in a bad way of doing sinful things, then they would cut her hair off to let everybody know she was a bad woman, amen, but that was the culture of the day. And so Paul let them know, amen, in the church, the women would wear shawl-like things over their head, not a veil. That word does not mean a veil of the face, a veil of the head. Shawls, amen, over their head, and some had stopped wearing them, some had cut their hair off, and different things, and so they were trying to determine, amen, should it be or not. And that's when Paul went into this discourse about a woman praying or prophesying with her head uncovered. And then I can read it to you here. You can read it for yourself. Amen. Let me read it to you. The Bible said, if the woman be not covered, all right, let's back up. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. Who is her head? Come on now. Y'all behind, aren't you? You're holding your breath, aren't you? You're watching the clock, aren't you? Her husband is her head. I'm preaching on honoring the husband, honoring the father. Amen. He dishonoreth the head when she prophesies or pray with her head uncovered. You believe this is in the Bible? It's in here. King James. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. Amen. Uncovered is the same as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. Shaven and shorn is not the same thing. Shaven is what you think it is. Shorn just means cut. Amen. Cut with scissors or knife or whatever shortens it. Amen. And so it says, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for he is the image and glory of God. Are you hearing me preach? But the woman is the glory of the man. I said, the woman is the glory of the man. Not lesser, not of less value. Amen. The Bible said, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. She is a glory to, amen. The glory of the man is that wife. Amen. She is to cover her head. Amen. Help me preach a little bit. Because of the authority and the position of order that she accepts by the power of God. Am I preaching right or not? This is not a hair message. This is an authority order message. Now listen to this. The Bible said, For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man, out of his side, a rib. Neither was the man created for the woman. The woman was created for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power. That's that sign that she accepts the authority on her head because of the angels who are observing and watching the conduct of the church even this morning. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, because man is born of woman. Somebody say amen. Neither the woman without the man in the Lord. In the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge yourself. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Does not nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? That's the only verse I remember my dad quoting to me. God bless his heart. But if a woman have long hair, it's a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. And when you look deep in that, it talks about instead of a covering. Amen. That's what it means. That hair is a covering, the covering of the head. Amen. That's what God ordained. Praise the Lord. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the church of God. I've had people say, well, that scripture means if you don't like that, you just don't have to do it. Well, you know good and well that ain't what that means. And the Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. So if someone's contentious, the reason is pride, and pride's enough to send you to hell. Ain't that right? Now, I want you to go back over here real quick. to Ephesians again. Let me read this again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor. I've been talking about the honor of the father. Now, the father, the Bible says in the scriptures I read in the fifth chapter that the husbands, and I'm going to get to the responsibility right here for a few minutes, just 5 minutes. Therefore, as the church is subject, husbands, verse 25, 5 and 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, what kind of love is that? Oh, we'll preach to you a little bit. Is that all right? Husbands, love your wife. What kind of love should a husband love his wife with? Now, what was Christ? Well, when you think of Christ's love, what is the first symbol of his love to you? His sacrifice. That's agape love. That is not sensual, erotic love that somebody get on the internet and look at some girl. Now, let me drop this in here while I'm at it. Woo, hallelujah. There goes our building program. Hey, man. But I'm going to tell you right now, these old kids get on this Facebook stuff and put their pictures and stuff on there. I don't know why. I don't ever see them. But this is what I've heard. They get in there in a glamour pose. And sometimes not even dressed like a holiness girl or boy. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you find somebody because of the shape of their body, or the come on of their personality, and you say, I just love them. No. It's a four-letter word that begins with L, but it's not love. How many's with me now? If you're just going to be driven by your hormones, you're going to go to hell by your hormones. Love is, when you talk about loving your wife, you love. I'm going to apologize to the visitors here today. God bless you. Come back around. I love you. I appreciate you. I'll try to do better next time you come. But if you love your wife, as Christ loved the church, what's the first thing you do? You love sacrificially. Huh? Yeah, was that right? Now I'm back to this fathers. I'm talking about children also, and I got to get to this. It's in my lesson here today, but it's sacrificial love. Now I want you to notice. And then he says, honor, not only is it a sacrificial love, and everybody knows what a sacrificial love is, then, huh? It's where you give for their benefit. And the Bible says, be not bitter against your wife, but honor her as the weaker vessel. That's why this works. When you honor your wife, amen, and you honor your husband and submit and obey him in all things, and he in turn loves you as Christ loved the church and he'll die for you, that sounds like a happy marriage. Come on now, somebody say amen. And then he says this. He says, love as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it that he might sanctify. It's a love that not only sacrifices, but it's a love that sanctifies. Amen. And what does that mean? That means Christ loved us so much that he brought us out from every other one. He sanctified him a church clean without spot or wrinkle. Somebody say amen. We ought to love our wives, amen. That wife of ours, amen, ought to be sanctified out above every other woman, amen, on the face of the earth. Somebody say amen. Oh, we need to love, amen, in a way to where it cleanses and purifies our home environment. It's a love that satisfies. Now, let me go on a little further. Let me go. Ephesians chapter 6 again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I'm talking about things that are right here this morning. Honor the father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. How many young folks know what that means? Well, it means if you don't. Did y'all get it? You don't live as long as you could have. Is that what the Bible said? All right. Now listen to this. Now fathers, notice it says fathers here. It don't say fathers and mothers. It says fathers. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture. Well, I love that word right there, an admonition of the Lord. Here's a quote by a teenager. I'm gonna just tell you something that a teenager said, rebellious teenager. What's the matter with you? What's going on? This is the reply that teenager made. I tell you what, said my parents, they're just, said, I can't, they're just driving me crazy. What do you mean? Well, I'm either getting by with murder or I'm blamed for everything. Now that's a quote. I didn't quote that. That wasn't me said that. It's a rebellious teenager. You know what was eating them alive? The inconsistency of the discipline. I believe in discipline. The Bible does. The Bible talks about a rod. But it also talks about, amen, admonition. That's words. Words. Discipline is not just flying off the handle when your patience runs thin. Let them by with murder all day long, and then your nerves get by, and they do something childish like a child will do, like knock something over or get a little loud like a child will do, and you smack them right across the face. Now, get out of my sight! You can't discipline because you're not disciplined. You don't wait to discipline till you're so mad that you're ready to kill somebody. Huh? Like the fella that his little kid on the, he was washing and shining on that fancy car, and his kid was on the other side with his screwdriver scratching it, and he flew off and beat his hands with a ball peen hammer till he was crippled the rest of his life. It's not really rocket science, and I know it takes a lot of prayer. But the Bible here talks about fathers not provoking their children to wrath. And that's a father that's not consistent. And the only discipline's when they fly off the handle or some wife has nagged them. You let them out of murder. When are you going to straighten these kids out? And then to get even with the wife, you jerk them up and bruise your child. You bruise the wrong. Oh, sorry. Somebody help me get anointed right now. Tell you something. You may not think I'm preaching, but I'm preaching to you right now. Huh? As a kid one time in my presence, been stomped. Found out had been stomped. Big footprints on their body. Social workers got involved. And they approached me. And you say, well, don't even ask no questions. I mean, I'm going to tell you. I'm just going to tell you what they said. And that old social worker, she come in there. And boy, she was mad as fire. And she said, you know what this kid's problem is? You know why this footprint is on this child's back? You know why this is? Said they got this is a this child has PK syndrome. And I said, what in the world is that? Preacher's kid, she said. Boy, that offended me to the highest degree. I had never stomped my children. Hey, are you listening to me? Amen. But this child was a preacher's kid. Amen. Had been stomped by a wild, out of control man. Because help me preach a little bit here. I'm going to tell you right now, amen, there is a way God wanted fathers, amen, to train their children in the way they should go. And notice he said, father, amen, there's a lot of times, mama, you need just to back off and let dad take care of it. Quiet in here, ain't it? Yeah, I believe in the rod. It's in the Bible. It says you beat a child and you'll not kill him. You'll deliver his soul from hell. But, brother, it doesn't need to be a wild tyrant dictator that's not in control themselves, beating and carrying on and abusing their child. Somebody say amen. There's a right way. You say you're perfect. I am not. I'm just telling you what the Bible teaches. I'm trying to live the Bible best I can. But listen to this. It says, provoke not your children to wrath. And when we're inconsistent, and when we're out of control ourselves, it reflects in our children's behavior. That's why that teenager said, you know, I get by with murder one day and get blamed for everything the next. It's that inward of that father, that parent. That's why this next scripture says, oh boy, sorry. That's why this next verse, the next part of this verse says, but bring them up in nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, I don't mean spoiling your kids. You're not thinking I mean. You know I don't mean spoiling your child. That's abusing them right there in itself. I'm not talking about letting them get by, but it talks about bringing them up. And when you talk about bringing up, that's not a one-time thing. That's not a one-day deal. That's not Christmas and birthday. That's every day. Bringing them up day by day, consistently. Nurturing. That word nurture. Nourishment. Amen. Not just how many was ever raised that you, all your faults was always pointed out and you never were praised for anything you did. That's not real discipline at all. When someone pleases you, hey man, a child does good, makes a good grade, does something nice, is being good, have went a whole month and hasn't brought shame to you, ought to just set them down and say, I appreciate you being my child, and the way you're living your life brings honor to me. We can't constantly just be looking at the negative and whipping and beating down. Why, you ain't got enough sense. You can't do nothing. You failed again. I don't know. You take out your mother. Or I think I'm busting some hides in here today. I mean, that's just the way I feel in my spirit. Preaching to you a little bit this morning. It's so vital. I look at these little kids, and you're going to turn around. Huh? They're going to be grown men. Ain't they? See, discipline, now really, and I believe in corporal correction, but really it's like they tell you in the school system here, they say that corporal correction should not be something you do to a child. It's something you do for them. Huh? And, I really believe if it's done properly, that'll be a last resort that has a great effect. You say amen? But there's a lot of admonition, advice. You say, well, they don't listen to me. Tell them anyway. My Lord, does that mean we don't advise people because they won't listen? We'll never advise nobody hardly. Admonish your children. Be careful. Don't do that. And I'm not talking about, you know, a lot of times people think that kids obeying is just doing everything. You say, bring me a cup of tea. Give me, you know, and just drive kids crazy. They don't know when to sit down, when to get up, when to go to the bathroom. Oh, come on. Trying to make kids obey is obey the Bible is what we're talking about. Huh? Kids need to be individuals, don't they? They're not going to like chocolate ice cream necessarily. I remember Isaac, he's not in here, is he? I was trying to make him eat something, and, you know, he said, I don't like it. I said, eat it anyway. He said, it'll make me sick. I said, well, eat it till you throw up. You know how long it took him? About 30 seconds. Right out on the table. Ruined my meal. That's the last time I said anything like that. I said, you don't like it, don't eat it. And we think because we like it, you're going to like it, I'm going to beat the tar out of you. Go off and pray through somewhere. I think I've gone too far here. Let's stand. Boy, I tell you, there's a lot of ground to cover in 30 minutes, wasn't it? I didn't get it done. I mean, I had five sermons for Brother Darrell before I got done. I didn't get it done. But it's all in there, though. You can read it for yourself. Praise God. You can read it for yourself. Amen. Praise the Lord.